Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today.
Oh, hello. Shalom. Welcome. I am a shepherd. As you can see, I take care of sheep. It is one of my favorite ones right now. My name is Ben Shimron. Shimron means watcher, observer. I watch sheep. That's my job. And I love my sheep. I am a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm a son of Shimron. While I'm a fictional character, my story is not. It's true. It's a true story that I will share with you today. I grew up in Bethlehem, about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is a small little town. You've heard of one stoplight towns? No stoplights. Not many people. Not much at all in Bethlehem. I come from the tribe of Judah. Our royal lineage is connected to David and Solomon and the Lord's son himself. On special occasions, I was tasked with transporting our sheep to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, we would take them to the temple. And it was always sad, and my heart always broke. But I was always happy when they would choose my little lambs for sacrifice. It had to be done. That was my job, to raise these sheep, to have these lambs born, but then to see them carried to the slaughter. But blood had to be shed. Our sins, our iniquities were so great. God required a blood sacrifice, the shedding of blood for our sin. That's my job, not sinning, but my job is these sheep and having these sheep born and having them born perfect without spot, without blemish, caring for these sheep. Oh, who best to raise these sheep, thought King Solomon, than my family, David's family from Bethlehem. So ever since Solomon built the temple, our family has been making these sheep and caring for these sheep and watching them throughout each night. When Lucas, I'm sorry, I speak Hebrew and Greek, when Dr. Luke, as you may know, came back to Jerusalem, I happened to be there. And I saw him for the first time in perhaps 25 years. He told me about Jesus and the miracles, and I had heard of all these stories already. He told me about his travels with the great missionary named Paul. I love to hear the stories from him. But then he showed me a scroll. He said, I've been working on the scroll for quite some time. Now, I'm going to use a modern scroll to tell you the story. But it looked quite like this, the scroll. As I glanced over the first few pages, the first two chapters, in fact, as I got to chapter 2, I started to see my story. And I thought, I was there. I was there for what he describes on the pages of chapter 2. And Luke known as a historian, as a physician, he told the story exactly right. I was there. It's exactly like he said it was. And he was in Jerusalem for a conference. You can find a conference in Acts chapter 15. He was there to talk about how the gospel was for the Jews and for the Greeks, for the Gentiles as well. And that's why he was at the conference. That's how I got to see him. It was so good to see Dr. Luke. And as you find, and as I find this story, it's in Luke chapter 2. If you would, find it in your copy of scroll of Scripture. Luke chapter 2. My story is truly the story of Jesus. Jesus is who the Bible is all about, after all. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I'm a shepherd. I keep watch. Now, I keep watch of my sheep, but let me tell you, I also watch my feet. You have to watch your feet when you are around sheep. You don't want to step in some of the stuff they leave. So I'm an observer. I watch. I look. I see. And that night was absolutely extraordinary as we were keeping watch over our flock that night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I was afraid. I was fearful. It was a frightening time. This light was so bright. We had never seen anything like this moment that we experienced that night. Even Ben Yohanan, he was afraid, and he's never afraid. It was, at first, a precarious moment. The angel said unto them, he said to us, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." What an amazing thing he says to us. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I had been waiting my entire life for this moment. And they told us about the Messiah. They were telling us about Jesus. Oh, I was so thrilled, so excited. What the angel said reminded me of when I was in synagogue school, learning from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us is a child born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I had that verse memorized by heart. That's exactly what the angel was announcing. Something that myself and every Jewish boy and girl had been waiting, and every Jewish boy or man and woman their entire life had been waiting for. Many had their lifetimes come and go, and they still believed in this promise. "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Our shepherds know about swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are discarded, no longer useful for human use. Nobody wears swaddling clothes. In fact, when the baby lambs were born, we had these caves that were near our fields, and we lived in the fields. And at times when the ewe lambs, the mother sheep, were about to give birth, we'd usher them into these caves. Inside these caves would be jagged rocks and things they could be injured on, but they were warm and safe from the elements. And ever since I was a young boy, my father had always asked me to wrap every newborn lamb with swaddling clothes. We wanted the perfect sheep. We wanted sheep with no spot and no blemish, no scratches, no marks, no cuts, no injuries. So every lamb born, I would wrap in discarded human clothes to protect them. The angel said, Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, notice this heavenly host. Oh, it was breathtaking. This bright light as it surrounded us, not just on one side of us, but this light surrounded us. It was a fearful moment. Anytime you're surrounded by an army, which is what a host is, it could be a fearful moment. This army was not bringing war. They were not coming with an agenda other than peace. This host, this army was announcing peace. Peace to us on this earth. The heavenly host praised God and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. Oh, I wish I could tell you how that sounded, that tune that they sang these words to. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds, that's me, said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I wanted to see this. We wanted to get there. We did not want to wait with the angels anymore. Let's go see this promise come to pass that they are speaking of. And they came with haste. Many people joke about haste. They say he was my cousin. Some say he was my brother. It just means we ran really quickly. We came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. The manger at the end of a little house. They had no room in the inn, no room where humans would live in this house. Because of the Roman census, because of the travel, Bethlehem was full. More people than normal lived in Bethlehem on that night. And most people, when they traveled back to their hometown where their family was from, would stay with family or distant relatives. Joseph and Mary found someone's house. They found an inn. But in the inn, there was no room for them where the people would stay. At the lowest end of this abode is where the animals would stay. And right in between this living kitchen area and where the animals would sleep at night, as we turned the corner into that little house, there was the feeding trough. It was a manger. And there, baby Jesus. There is where he was. We took a candle. There were several candles that night. Oh, my eyes were almost still blinded from seeing the angels. But there was a candle, many candles. We don't have wax candles. We have olive oil candles, just like this. About 4 hours of light from this. Many of these candles were in that cave, in that little abode, and we watched, and we saw, and I knelt down, and there was the perfect Lamb. Mary, what's his name? Joseph, what's his name? His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Wow. I was so thrilled. What an honor. The emotion is just running over me as I recall this moment. We knelt down, myself and the other shepherds, and were just amazed that God's love for us, that God showed himself to us, that this perfect Lamb was there to die for my sin, to pay the price for my iniquity. Oh, we were so excited. As Dr. Luke continues to tell the story, when we had seen it, we made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Oh, certainly, certainly meeting Jesus changed my life. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. We returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that we had seen, heard and seen as it was told to us. We were so excited to share the good news that Jesus, the Yeshua, the Christos, the Messiah, was here in our lifetime, right before us. We returned home, changed people. We went back to our fields and we went back to our lives, but all the while glorifying and praising our God. God did exactly what he said he would do in sending his son for us. Jesus changed my life that day. Can I suggest three ways that meeting Jesus changed my life? The first way is found in verse 9 and verse 10. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not, fear not. I understand that there may be great fear in your life today. Great heartache, great turmoil, so many problems in the world today, so many issues weighing heavy on your heart. As the angel of the Lord said, Fear not, I have some good news for you. Fear not. What comforting words. What comforting words to me in that day, and also to each of you here today. Fear not. Verses 1 through 7 tell us really a lot of the problems they had and what we had. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. You've heard it in your history books, taxation without representation. Perhaps it started when I lived. Our country was overrun. We did not vote for anything. We had Caesar Augustus. He didn't ask us how to live. He told us how to live. We had no leaders. All we had puppet leaders. Roman soldiers would walk around making sure no insurrection. Taxation. Political problems. Just to name a few, when you think about medical issues, sicknesses that people would have. We had the same problems back then as the problems you have today. And they were drastic issues. Most people would be happy just for a little food to eat on that day. Most people I knew were like that. All went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. All that turmoil and problems. Traveling, Joseph, in verse 4, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Here's Mary and Joseph, Mary on a little donkey, riding. You don't like traveling with easy pass? You don't know what traveling's like. Traveling was hard back in our day, really hard. And here they come into Bethlehem, no lodging, nowhere to stay. Mary about to give birth at any moment. Joseph to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Ben Shimron, I watched it all. I observed the perfect Lamb of God. And from this, I learned to fear not. Fear not, whatever your issues are, whatever the problems you may have in your life today, fear not. Later on, much later on, Jesus would say, have faith in God. And our faith is much greater than our fear. Fear not, my friend. Fear not whatever you are facing today. Glorify God. In verse 20, we find that my life changed. The shepherds, that's me, returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that we had heard and seen as it was told unto us. It changed my life to glorify God. What is it to glorify the Lord? Give God the credit. Give God the credit. That's what glorifying God means, is to give God the credit. Anything good in your life comes from God. Give Him the credit for it. As the angels were singing and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We have an idea of how to glorify the Lord. Showing peace to others. Showing peace to others. Showing peace to others, whether you like them or not, whether you love them or not, to be a peaceful person towards others is a way to give glory to God. And doing kindness towards others. Notice the verse continues to say, and their song continues to say, goodwill. That means kindness, goodwill toward men, towards men and women. I'm going to do good towards them. So how do I glorify God? With peace and kindness towards others, when you're peaceful. Someone says, why are you peaceful? You give the credit to God. When you're doing good towards others, and you're kind, and you're sharing, and you're giving. Someone says, why would you do good to someone like that? You say, it's because I'm a really good person. No, you give the credit to God. I am glorifying the Lord. Have you glorified God today? You give the credit to God. Give Him the credit for anything good in your life. Fear not. Glorify God and tell others. Verse 17 and 18. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Making known abroad. Showing others Jesus. Here's the light of the world. Jesus, the light. The perfect Lamb of God. We're to share who this Lamb is. We're to shine this light into the dark world in which we are living. Are you telling others of the Messiah, of the Savior, of Jesus? Oh, myself and the other shepherds, we were mostly just outdoors men, mostly living in isolation, outside all the time. Not many people like to get near us unless they needed a lamb. I didn't mind not being around people that much, out in the fields, living there, really away from others. But something changed that night. I'm a shy person. I don't need attention and being around others. But everyone I met and others I went out of my way to meet, I told them about this night, about meeting Jesus and bowing down before the perfect Lamb of God. If you've met Jesus, you can't but help tell others about Jesus as well. So, Jesus changed my life. Has He changed your life? Are you a Christian? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you believed? Fear not. He changed my life. Fear not. Glorify God. I want to glorify the Lord and tell others about Jesus. Christian, are you living in this type of a way? Has God changed your life from the moment you met Jesus? Ben Shimron, I was there. I watched sheep while I'm watching my feet. But most importantly, I met the perfect Lamb of God. He grew up. Jesus grew up like all little boys do. He lived the perfect life. And he died a cruel death on the cross. He shed his blood as the perfect, complete, and final sacrifice for my sin and for yours. This is called the gospel. For 3 days later, after dying, he rose again. And Jesus is alive in heaven, and he wants to save you from your sin. When Dr. Luke showed me the scroll, I was so excited to see my story. I just had a small part. The Bible is all about the greatest story of all and the greatest person of all, God in the flesh, Jesus, the Messiah. Now I'm going to go ahead and go into a more natural, non-first-person perspective for just a moment. I've tried to share with you the greatest truth you ever could from a first-person perspective. Tried to. I hope my lack of acting didn't get in the way, or vocal intonation or anything. But have you trusted Christ for yourself? Do you really know Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior? There are many religious people. They do religious things. The shepherd knew a lot of people like that. He knew the Pharisees. He knew the Sadducees. He knew the people that would just give sacrifices and do whatever they wanted and live like Satan the rest of the time. You know, he knew people like that. He knew the ultra religious that would look down upon other people and chastise them for not looking the part, you know, not dressing the right way or saying the right words. He knew people like that. He knew people that really believed their good works would save them from their sin. You know people, and you may be a person even who believes being religious or going to a church would save you from your sin. Taking communion, being baptized, reciting a prayer. No. To be born again, to trust Jesus, is to believe. To believe the gospel. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Have you trusted Jesus for yourself? I can't be safe for you. A neighbor can't be safe for you. A family member cannot become a Christian on your behalf. It's your faith in your heart. There's also people who have a lot of head knowledge. They have a lot of knowing in the Bible of the Bible in their head, but they don't know Jesus in their heart. They've never confessed their sin and trusted Jesus. They've never repented of a lack of faith and turned to faith in Jesus. So how do you become born again? How do you become a Christian? You confess to God, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I believe the gospel. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for me. I believe that. I couldn't save myself. My good works, that wasn't good enough for God. He needed a perfect sacrifice, and I ain't perfect. You can never attain to perfection either. But I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He paid the price for me, and he's alive, and I'm trusting him. It's faith in your heart. You express it to God in prayer. My favorite verse in all the Bible is in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you've become a Christian. If you haven't, you haven't yet become a Christian, but today you can. Today you can pray and with faith in your heart, believe Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Would you do that today? Would you do that if you've never trusted Christ? Let's take just a moment to pray together. And as we pray, if there's someone that would like to receive Jesus, it's in faith, in your heart. You don't have to pray out loud, but just right where you're at, could you ask God to forgive you and save you? Not in a temporary way. I'm talking about for eternal life. Could you say something like this to God, if you believe this gospel, God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I realize my sin separates me from God. My goodness, anything good I can do, religion, it cannot save me from my sin. I believe in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed his blood so that I could be forgiven of sin. Would you please forgive me, Jesus? Forgive me my sin and save me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Did anyone pray for salvation just now? You ask God to forgive you and save you through Jesus? Anybody at all? Just let me know. Can you wave at me? Anybody? Just wave at me. God bless you. Oh, that's wonderful. Others? It's wonderful. You're born again. You're born again. You trusted and believed, and you become a son or a daughter of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this shepherd's account of the first Christmas. We thank you for these amazing truths that you gave to us about this event of God coming to earth, being robed in flesh, living a perfect life and dying on the cross, the perfect lamb sacrificed for our sins. We rejoice for this one who's believed in the gospel. We thank you for others who are considering salvation through not religion or works, but considering salvation the way the Bible says, through faith in Jesus. We pray that today they would believe, that they would confess you as their Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each Christian here today. And as we consider the changes in the shepherd's life, Lord, let us as well have lives of no fear. There's so much to be afraid of today, but we don't have to fear. Lord, let us be people who give you the credit as Christians to glorify you and to praise you for anything good in our life. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us, give us boldness and courage to tell others. People need hope. This world needs hope today. Let us share this hope, share this light, the perfect Lamb of God with those around us.